Sing it. Wait, do what Chuck's doing.
But both, I don't know what song you're doing. You were doing
Ooze. He's making holiday notes.
I'm doing Auld Lang Syne with Ooze. Okay.
Hey, everybody, it's Griffin McElroy from My Brother, Me Brothers. And this is our annual Candlelight Special live in Huntington, West Virginia. Thank you, everybody who came out. Apologies to the ones that couldn't make it. We had a really great time. You're about to hear us open up the show with some beautiful carolers from Heart in the Park. It didn't come out super good in the final mix, but it was fun if you were there. So share this episode with your family. There's no swears in this episode. There were a couple swears in the live environment, but we went ahead and nipped those in the bud. So go ahead and share this with Peepaw, Poopaw, Pumpaw, and Pumper, your dog Pumper.
And joyous candle nights.
That was just a nightmare.
The McElroy brothers are not experts. And their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool babies?
Joyous Candlenights. My name is Justin McElroy, and I'm your oldest brother. Welcome to My Brother, Me, an advice show for the modern era.
Feliz Nava Candlenights. I'm your middlest brother, Travis McElroy.
I'm the sweet baby brother, Griffin McElroy, and I want to apologize for, after all that stuff we planned, my introduction to you was I screamed the word intimate into my microphone, thereby unraveling the scarf of intimacy that we worked so hard to
Griffin
unravel.
Griffin makes an excellent point, because what we've done is we planned carolers, we made a video, we had a whole thing, there was a Grinch, and what we did is we planned right up until the start of My Brother,
right.
And Me, and then we didn't plan anything after that.
Oh, I planned something. It's right here in this bottle. I mean,
you have a can in your hands. You planned poorly. Oh,
this bottle.
All right.
No, this can is part of my new Keep It Cool. My new Keep It Cool live show lifestyle.
Yeah.
Let me tell you folks about it. It's called Wait to Make Some Room. Here's how it works. So let's say you do three shows as part of Candle Nights. How is this tree back? I bought that at the dollar store. What's up, house left? It's called Wait Till You Make Some Room. So here's how it
works. It's called what?
It's called Wait Till You Make Some Room. So let's
Is that Simlish? Is that the Sims language?
No, it's Wait Till You Make a Some Room. Here's
okay.
how it works. Let's say you do three shows. You have a certain level of drunk that you need to be for each one. The first one, none. It's perfect. It's called Things About You. It's perfect. Artistic creation that is a symbiosis of art and commerce. It's perfect. So you don't have to be drunk for that. Sawbones, drunk enough that I have to forget that I married way above my class. It's at a certain level. But then, okay, so wait to make some room. Here's how it works. You pour the liquor into the can of soda, but here's the thing. Before you can pour the liquor in, you gotta wait to make some room. So you gotta.
You have a one in, one out. Get out of here, regular liquid.
You're pacing yourself. You're saying, whoa, whoa, 10-year bullet bourbon, I'm gonna enjoy some more of you.
And I do wanna be clear here. He's got 10-year age bullet bourbon, which he is going to pour into Diet Dr. Pepper.
That's fine. Hey, eat a biggin, okay?
How much was that bottle?
Can I say that? Is this Can Lights
appropriate?
Yeah,
biggin, yeah, biggin is fine.
It's not important. It's a Can on Heights. So this is an advice show for the modern era.
Well, this is an episode where we're not gonna swear at all, we should point out, which is...
we are gonna try really hard not to swear at all.
Bye, Justin.
And suddenly our production quality jumps up to 10.
I was really worried when they started because I couldn't see Griffin super good.
But then Jelson flipped that tiny plastic switch on that tiny plastic street lamp and suddenly all became clear. I had to explain it so the people at home knew what we were talking about.
Yeah. This has been, fellas, I don't know how you feel about it, kind of a swearing day. Like if I made it to the end of this day under normal circumstances, it would be 9 p.m. I would put on my sweat shorts, and I'd be like...
Swords.
Shorts, I guess you could
just Swords.
Sure. And then I would just, like, kick up the ottoman, and I'd be like, time to do some swearing. Let's start with my favorite ones. And then I'd say, I wish I could tell you what my favorite ones, but I can't, because it's Candle Nights, and that's not what we're going for
that's
here.
That's not what Candle Nights is about. I don't know what it is about, but I know it's not that.
We'll find it by the end of the episode. Going back listening to old Candle Nights episodes, I've realized they're beautiful and we've pitched this holiday in the perfect way, but none of us have had a moral revelation. Except maybe Justin at the end of Candle Nights 2014 when three ghosts visited and were like, hey, drink less on stage. Only they didn't get around to you until like January 16th.
You know, it's funny. We'd ruin Candle Nights by swearing the show, but there's a lot of Christmas things that would be a lot better if they had swearing in them. I was thinking about this today when I was watching Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
Yeah.
How much money would you give to see one of those little otters just be like, mother grabber, but they'd say the bad thing.
The bad one,
the bad one.
Should we do some...
What if Scrooge...
Oh, there's more.
Okay.
What if Scrooge is just like, they're like, can we have some money, Scrooge? And he was like, son of a... And then he said the rest of it.
The next word that comes in that, usually at the end of it.
This is an advice show. Don't laugh. My family is doing a gift exchange this year, and my sister-in-law, as of last March, is buying a present. A cast iron skillet.
Spoilers, come on!
For my wife.
Save that for the end of the question. You don't know how to build suspense. By the way, I know you've been wondering. It's a cast iron skillet.
Dun, 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 dun. My wife's Christmas list did not specify the type of cast iron skillet that she would like. Rookie mistake. But knowing her, I have reason to think she would prefer a different type than the one that was purchased. Brief sidebar.
What character traits?
Yeah.
Like, well, I know that she hates Mondays and loves chocolate, so she wants a Dutch oven. Like, what?
Not a cast iron skillet.
Not a cast iron skillet.
It could be. You could have a cast iron Dutch oven.
What a
skillet.
I like that's what you have issue with, and not that somebody wants a cast iron skillet, just not that cast iron skillet.
If you can't figure it out on your own, it doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything. You know I only like ceramic handles. That's one of the things about me is I love ceramic handles. I said ceramic handles 3 times because I worried it would sound like ceramic candles, and that doesn't make any sense.
A sincere concern. Yeah.
Welcome, by the way, behind the veil. But I have reason to think that my sister-in-law would prefer a different type than the one that was purchased. I'm not about to ask my sister-in-law to return it and get a different one. But is it okay for us to return it and get a different one ourselves once the present has been opened and thank yous have been given, etc.? It might not be an issue for most people, but since my sister-in-law is relatively new to the family, I don't want to do anything that might accidentally insult her. And I know this is getting long, but hanging with me, there's a twist. And she will know if we do this because my brother, her husband...
is an octopus.
Why would she be an octopus?
It's just a better twist than the twist. Go ahead.
My brother... you've ruined the tension. This isn't even...
build it back up, start at the beginning.
It was a dark and stormy night. Call me Ishmael. What's up with cast iron skillets? It was the best of times. It was the worst of skillets. Okay. Mm. Okay.
Pick it up. Let's take it from... and
reset
she will
to
know.
One.
Let's take it from the exact word I stopped at. She will know if we do this because my brother, her husband, and I share an Amazon account. What do you think, brothers? Should I return the present and restrain the relationship, or should I leave well enough alone? And that's from Sauteing in South Bend.
Can I just say...
are you here? Sauteing in South Bend?
Are you? No. Yep. Cool. I'm deeply in love with the audience reaction.
Very much. You,
you guys
it
reacted
in the
like
fiction.
A Spanish soap opera. Oh.
Dios mío.
Oh.
Oh.
Because that's what I wanted you to do, and you did.
You did.
I think it's busted how everybody thinks all commerce... why is everyone laughing? Did I swear? I think it's busted how everybody thinks all commerce has to go through Amazon.
I think they're laughing because you said busted like a character on Ghost Rider. Hey, gang.
Hey, gang.
What's Ghost Rider spelling on the wall? We gotta bust this. Anyway. Take it from me, Sheldon Turnipseed, the actual name of a person on Ghost Rider, Sheldon Turnipseed.
I forget what I was gonna say, fellas.
Made some room.
I think it's bad and wrong. You poured it into a cup. That's cheating version of making room. I'm gonna go with the original. I think it's busted how everybody thinks all monetary transactions have to go through Amazon, and you gotta do a street return. Just take this new cast iron skillet thing into Pullman Square Plaza and just carry it around saying, like, who wants this skillet?
No.
Skillet here?
Your problem is no one wants, and correct me if I'm wrong here, audience, no one wants a new cast iron skillet.
Right.
Like, what's the fun of that? You need it pre-seasoned.
You want that stank.
You want your great-grandmother's old busted skillet.
Travis Patrick!
Oh, no! No, you can say that on TV.
No, three strikes, that's
you
one.
You can say that on TV.
Three strikes.
Your old donkey skillet.
You want a skillet so old that something in it at one point had a racist slang name, right? Sorry, Grandma, do you mean bacon? Sorry, wait, Grandma, did you mean to say bacon just then instead of the thing that you did say? Because that's not what we call it ever. This is polite society.
Could you take it to like Cluckers or something and have them just like
DJ Cluckers?
You mean Roosters?
It's not.
No, we don't want to get sued.
Anybody here eat at Roosters since you've been here? Yeah, what's
it's
up?
It's like half our audience. How did that happen?
Jason, don't raise your hand. Of course you've eaten at Roosters.
They got a lot of TVs, right? You were saying?
Deep fried TV.
We'll talk about Huntington stuff later. Go
All
ahead.
All right, take the pan to Roosters. Say, can you just dunk this? Give it a speedy crusting. Maybe one of the chefs puts it down his shirt for a work day, and you get that natural
that increases cookie. The price by $25 American.
Yeah. You gotta put some sweat equity into it. Literal, literal sweat equity.
Quick poll of this table. Griffin, Justin.
Yeah.
How much would you pay for a cast iron skillet? Do not answer audience.
Why can't they? You're being really
because
rude.
I want you to answer.
There's hundreds of people here, and you just poll.
Oh, I'm going to poll them in a second.
Okay, raise
this
your
hand. This is going
okay,
long.
Let's do this. Raise your hand if you'd pay $10, and then we'll just go up in value.
No, why would we do this?
And put it down.
Saya, okay, I see like one.
Bad long game.
Okay, 20?
Please just get to the joke. If there's a joke, God help me, please just say it.
No, my point was is that I think that in this day and age, if you went up to someone and said, I will sell you this cast iron skillet for $25, they would be like, yeah.
On the street, homie?
What's your fear? That you're getting a knockoff cast iron skillet? That it's not name brand?
Hey, why is Paula Deen spelled with four E's? I like how her face is printed on it, for sure.
This is a Paulo Deen. That can't be right.
This is one Pablo Deen. It doesn't even make sense.
Hey, does anybody want a Yahoo answer from the Yahoo Answers website and service?
If you're unfamiliar, we take questions from the Yahoo Answer service and try to answer them before everybody on Earth did it. Fallon, I know
if
he's
you're here.
If you're here, Fallon, eyes
no,
on
no,
you,
No, don't boo. He's adorable.
Yeah, he's great
All
guy.
Right, let's do the thing. It's by level. It was sent in by level 9,000. Yeah, Drew Davenport.
Sure, you're here? He's usually here.
No, that would be amazing. No, that's too far
We're
for him to come
We're flying
him
out next year.
At the top of the Yahoo page, there's a little promotion that says get double points throughout December on answers. Is it time for me? Is this the time to strike and become an active member? I take so much from Yahoo Answers. Is it time I put them back into the ecosystem?
Give.
I worry that you'll draw too much attention to yourself.
That's a good point. I don't want to poison the well. This one's asked by Yahoo Answers user. It's anonymous and for good reason. We'll call him Purvis. Asks. What? It's a name. Purvis asks, why am I attracted to the weight gain belly scene from the movie The Santa Claus?
I'm so happy. How's your candle nice? Mine's good so far.
I'm a straight male, always have been. There's no doubt to that. Maybe slight confusion.
Wait, okay, maybe slightly what?
I'm a straight male, always have been. There's no doubt about that. Maybe slight confusion.
Just like own it.
There's a backspace key on your keyboard. There's no doubt, there is. Too late now.
You know what?
Don't read that last sentence. I want that stricken from the Yahoo record.
Now that I think about it, I've dated exclusively men. I guess I'm pretty...
I can see where that would be confusing.
Yeah, I can see why this would be confusing.
I'm attracted to the whole weight gain fetish thing among women and only women. Nothing crazy like serious gaining, but a little bit of chub around girls' stomachs that create a little gut is attractive to me, and I didn't read this part, and I'm uncomfortable on the stage now. The next part's too gross to read. When I say gross, the humiliation factor and seeing the girls act or whatever and hearing dialogue or monologue gets me aroused a good bit.
All right, let the record show there were no bad words in what Griffin just said.
But I would say
concepts. Challenging ideas.
Mostly just the idea of being aroused during a monologue. He didn't specify the topic either.
My question.
Can we take our robes off yet? I need to warm.
Pretty hot.
Woo.
Cool. My question.
Yeah, now
is,
I'm comfortable.
My question is why for that particular scene only do I get a similar feeling? If memory serves in the Santa Claus with an E, there are several scenes where Tim Allen.
No, there is one specific where I believe he turns. Profile. And in the mirror watches like buttons pop off his shirt as he
Ooh, slow down. Ooh, mommy. again.
If you'll remember the scene, he then turns full onto the camera and does this for 15 minutes. So you can understand where
he just gets bigger and bigger.
Bigger and bigger. One sec.
Nope.
If everybody get that on Twitter, I'll do it one more time.
Why is any of this? Justin is
nobody's putting this on Twitter. Get your cameras out.
That's because it's ethically bad. It's ethically bad for them to do that thing you said.
So Tim Allen, I think what you've got here is you've got a lot of ideas that we're growing up loving. A
lot of cross wires.
A lot of cross wires, right? Everybody loves Santa. Ho, ho, ho. Green Giant. Well, they stole that. Yeah. One of them stole it. Everybody loves Santa. Kids growing up loving Santa. And then Tim Allen. Need I say more? I hoped that you guys would say
America's sexiest comic.
America's sexiest comic / novelist.
My God, why am I here? Changed my life. Yeah. It's why I'm a Zen Buddhist. I wish that was not true.
Have you seen, yikes, have you seen...
Whoa, sorry, pump the brakes.
Yeah.
I just found out Travis got his religious theology from Tim Allen. Sorry, the show is canceled. We're only talking about this now.
I believe I was 14 and his views really unlocked something within me.
The first annual Allen Nights where Travis... The show has come to a halt until you tell us more.
Well, there's a metaphor running through the book of him trying to find the perfect hood ornament.
The perfect chainsaw.
And what's great about it, and I feel truly moving, is he finds what he thinks to be the perfect hood ornament, like we all have. And then when he sees it the next morning in a clearer light, he realizes it's not as beautiful as it was on the show floor. And he realizes that what is truly important in life is his wife and kids.
And not
a hood ornament.
Okay, good.
And you read that in the other hand.
I was 14.
Yes. In the other hand, you were holding a big bag full of hood ornaments. And you were like, what am I becoming? No.
Why did I sort through so many of these?
We are not talking about the matter at hand, which is this person's Tim Allen chub. his double trouble chubble bubble. And I guess we're just not gonna.
I would say this, if it is confusing for you, my 35 years on this planet have proven one thing and one thing only. And that is not that hard to not see a Santa Claus movie.
I was going
to
say, how often is this coming up that you're like in the middle of, I don't know, getting your license renewed at the DMV and you look up
Excuse me,
I have to go.
Can you change the channel, please?
That guy got too worked up. And specifically not that scene, right? Like, it's not the whole movie. It's just the part where he gets large and in charge, right? I got another question. I've bought a book for a friend. What time did we start, by the way?
It's been like 4 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay. I bought a book for a friend as a gift this impending Candle Nights festivities. While waiting for the approaching holiday, I've been hearing amazing reviews and have been seeing it on a number of years' best lists. How morally reprehensible... Sorry. How morally reprehensible is it to read a book prior to gifting? That's from Dishonorable in Davidson.
All the information's used up. Again, there's only love left in this copy of Eat, Pray, Love. This is garbage.
Used up all the story. Wait, don't contextualize it. The idea of if you said anything, like I bought a sweater for my friend and I wore it first, no one would be like, that's fine, you can wear it again. No, it's a present you bought for someone, you're not allowed to read it beforehand.
What's the alternative?
Go get it yourself. It's $6.99. It's a book.
And that's... Hey, everybody, if you're wondering why it seems a little hot this winter, it's because old climate change Trav is trying to just, like, waste a lot of wastefulness, I think. In my book, in my America... One more. And two more words about that. Paris Accord. What? Trying to get it fixed up. A little hot out there today.
Dad has his head in his hands right now. That's not a joke.
It seems a little steamy out there in my America. I don't know. Maybe everybody should like...
Just a picture of me reading a book.
No, you bought a book and they cut a tree down to make that book and they paved paradise and put up a parking lot. We got libraries for a reason. Go to the library and get Eat, Pray, Love, too.
Congratulations, Mr. McElroy. He's your library card. We're excited to have you. Thanks. I need books that nobody's touched. I need your new shipments. Well, we have like a new Highlights magazine. I guess if that's it.
Here's some books about how bad climate change is. Nobody's touched those. Apparently.
Let's change some minds.
I'm sorry, I spilled on the thing. We got another Yahoo?
Yeah, sure.
Hit me.
How about this one? Oh man, there's so many good ones. Thank you to everybody who sent these in. This one was sent in by Don Ames. Thank you, Don. It's by Yahoo Answers user. Sorry, something has gone wrong. I'm gonna try refreshing the page.
Do you have a Wi-Fi?
I'm on that. Those fat pipes. Thank you, Big Sandy.
Sandy is the IT person here. fun bit of trivia for people who live here. When we tell people we were doing the show at the Big Sandy, everybody was like, whoa. And then we had to tell them, it's like, not where the He-Man live stunt show would be. But like,
also, it's 1992.
Yeah, not where they do World of Wheels and have all the trucks and tractors come in, but like over here where they do.
But, in the prom crypt.
This actually might be the room I had my prom in.
Oh, yeah, no, this place is a regular, like, teen boner storage facility.
There are prom boner ghosts all over this place. I just walked into a cold spot.
Yeah.
I once saw American Hero and West Virginia native Chuck Yeager, first man to break the sound barrier. What's up, Chuck? You make it tonight? No, he didn't make it, but you want to talk about cool intros. I want to saw Chuck Yeager come onto this stage in sweats. Is my wife in this room? Am I lying, Sydney? Come on the stage in sweats and say, I got this video about me. We're going to watch that first. 10 minutes. What, Chuck? Did you just start with a video about yourself that you started? He introed a video about himself. Sydney, am I lying?
She says, No, I'm not lying.
No, for those of you at home, no, he is not lying.
Also, for those of you at home, no, we literally did that exact same thing when we entered our show, kind of.
Okay, but wait.
Hold on, wait. No, it's fine. It's fine because we're not wearing sweatpants.
Oh, dang. The difference is we were singing in Christmas pageants and he was breaking the sound barrier. So. I feel like an a-hole. Okay, go ahead.
And now a 10-minute video of Chuck Yeager.
I wish.
Oh, man.
He's a hero.
That would be so much better than our stupid show.
Fascinating life, that guy.
Chuck Yeager asks,
wouldn't it be great if he was like a 10-minute video of me knitting my true passion?
Chuck Yeager asks, who stole my Christmas goose? Stole my Christmas goose. I built a fence around him and it was 12 feet high. I'm just now
picturing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, my reading comprehension is just now kicked. That's a high A fence. I built a fence around him and it was 12 feet high so he couldn't jump out, and I know he didn't run away, but he did. And I can't find him anywhere. Who stole my Christmas goose?
It was the Hanukkah fox.
The Hanukkah fox snapped the neck of your Christmas goose with his powerful jaws. That's it. That's the shortest sentence in the English language that has all of the letters in it. The Hanukkah fox snapped the Christmas goose's neck.
Well, that was good.
Listen, a goose is not a VTOL bird. It cannot just like whoop up and go. It needs a running start. If this is a small enough pen, then we have a locked room mystery on our hands.
When you first read this, I was literally picturing a fence just wide enough for the goose to be in it.
Like, yeah. The goose wouldn't even have room to turn around.
We're talking about the barrel of a goose gun.
Yes. But then I thought 12 feet high, the circumference of a foot tops? I don't know, the diameter of a bird.
You built a goose silo for your one goose.
This would all be a lot funnier if this wasn't how most of the chickens we eat are raised.
Jiminy creaminy?
What's up? And you know what we feed them? Fossil fuels. Think about it.
Agenda.
Wake up. Wake up, it's a hotter one out there.
We're boiling our geese alive.
This is my new character, guy laughing at a thing that isn't that funny.
Who stole the Christmas goose?
Sorry.
Who stole the Christmas goose? Justin, you've made a lot of jokes, but no firm denial.
It was me. I stole the Christmas goose. I thought the goose
it's
story.
It's gonna be okay.
I know. It seems like quite the turn, but we gotta end for it. Don't worry. We're not like J.J. Abrams. We got an actual outro for this thing.
What the? What is going on?
No! Shut up! It was a lost joke. It wasn't like a Star Wars thing.
It was not topical.
It was not topical. Don't get it twisted. Here's a true story. I ate goose for the first time 2 years ago. My mother-in-law made it for Christmas, and it tasted fine, but I realized that it is very hard to add a new animal to the list of animals you eat. Like, it's just like, it moves them from one column into another column. Like, welcome, I'm eating you now. Welcome to the things I eat.
Welcome to the Justin Tummy Club.
Welcome to the Tummy Club. Put
now,
it back in.
Now when I see you flocking through the sky, I think, yep.
Why don't you flock on down here?
You do that, does it push another one out? I add a goose and now I can't have fish anymore.
No, that's a bad thing. Eventually it just becomes me like Matter Eater Lad. Just like, I'll eat the mic. I don't care.
So it's kind of like a weird version of the most dangerous game where you just have to keep eating until you've eaten the most dangerous animal and then you have to eat
The most delicious game.
And like Justin's great, 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 great grandchildren will be like, all right, Capybara, you're the last one. Come on, it's on.
The most elusive game, Capybara.
Come on, Capybara. Well, no, they're the cutest game. Why would you want to eat one of those? But then you eat them and you're like, I caught them all.
I've had it all. Capybara, dolphin, Bulbasaur, all of it.
Time to turn in my tummy decks.
All right, Coral. Science says that you're an animal, but I don't believe it. But there's only one way to settle this. Come on in. Come on in, the tummy's fine.
Plankton, I'm gonna hate this. But I gotta know. I can eat a billion of you at once. Think of the possibilities.
Hey, hope everybody's having a real good time at this live show we recorded. Before we thank any of our sponsors, I wanna say a huge thank you to Heart. This is the theater group that provided our carolers for us during the show.
It didn't come in so great through the final mix. It was one of those, you had to be one of those Patton and McElroy, you had to be there moments.
But every summer they do theater in Huntington, and if you can get by, I think you're really going to enjoy it.
I love it. I'm two thumbs up. I love theater. I love Heart. I love Huntington.
Last year they did a play that our daddy wrote. I want to say a big thank you also to ZipRecruiter. When you're short staffed, there's no time to deal with dozens of different job sites. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post to 100 plus job sites with one single click and be instantly matched to candidates from over 6 million resumes. I'm so hungover. I'm just realizing I'm so hungover from last
squats. Look at me. We're all together right now. It's the day after Candlelights. Day one, when we did our live show.
This is day zero.
It's day zero, and now we're all together, and my brothers are watching me do my post-hangover squats. Watch me now.
Squat. That's one, two, reps. You keep squatting. Travis.
Griffin, you are doing an excellent plie.
ZipRecruiter has been used by over 400 businesses, and you can try it right.
400,000.
400. Well, it is also over 400.
Okay, you are right, but the copy does say 400,000.
Go to ZipRecruiter.com/mybrother. That's ZipRecruiter.com/mybrother.
No, Travis, you do it. Go. Burn it.
Okay, well, we also are sponsored this week by Harry's. You've heard us talk about Harry's before, but in case you haven't, Harry's
Harry's Razors offer a high-quality shave that's better for your face and your wallet. Maybe you've gone to, like, I don't know, a Walgreens, a CVS, and you're like, I need to get some razor blades. And the dude's like, all right, well, first you have to find me. And he hides in, like, the snack aisle. And then you got to find him. And he unlocks the thing. And then he's like, these razor blades are going to be $100. I haven't shaved in a long time. Okay, great. And so Harry's, in fact, is much cheaper, but way better. You can get a starter set for just $15. And that includes a razor, foaming shave gel, or shave cream, and three razor blades plus free shipping. But if you go to harrys.com, you can get $5 off the starter set with the code MYBROTHER, all one word. Start shaving better today.
Oh, we got a text to Rue.
Got a quick text. I got a message for Ian also. It wasn't in the text. Hey, it's Ian. I'm texting you. I got a message for Fiona. All right, so let me try again. I strike that, reverse it. Hey, it's Fiona. I was reading the phone upside down. Hey, it's Fiona. I got a message for Ian, the text says. Wishing you the most magical birthday, wiggling to that nice blonde girl and making prostitutes. Remember, someone is going to die today. What is this?
It's not Candle Nights is what it isn't. I'm sure they didn't mean for this to go up on our Candle Nights app. Travis just taking his shirt off.
I love you guys so much.
All right.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Ian. And a happy Candle Nights and a happy... wiggling, I suppose. Wiggling.
Happy wiggling. Travis, I got another message. Hit me, dude.
This message is for Jess Fisher, parentheses done, and it's from Johnny Lev. To the best man there is, congrats on finally squeezing that baby out. Now that the whole Prego thing is over and you're free of responsibility, you can spend all your time planning my bachelor party. Good work. You're the best. Does this get me out of babysitting?
It does, Johnny. Congratulations. And joyous Candle Nights to everybody. Thanks again to everybody who came out to our show. We hope you had a lot of fun. We know we did.
Let's get back into it.
So one of the things heading into Candle Nights we discussed on the show was that we didn't know all that much about Hanukkah.
As represented by the decorations on our stage, we tried and we failed. There's just none for sale.
Dollar General, not a huge Hanukkah selection.
That's a regional problem and not really our problem. We tried. Just, you know, we tried. I've seen one delightful person here in a Hanukkah sweatshirt, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes. Oh, it lights up. How glorious.
Oh,
I love
how wonderful.
So I wanted to take a minute. I constructed a report. It wasn't even mine. Honestly, it wasn't even mine. I copied and pasted from the internet, but it did have a lot of words that I didn't understand, so I had to translate them. And I would like to read it for you now. It's titled Hanukkah, : History. Unlike many Jewish holidays, Hanukkah, also known as the Festival of Luda, is not mentioned in the Bible. The historical events upon which the celebration is based are recorded in Maccabees 1 and 2, two books contained within a later collection of writings known as the Pupkins. Although Hanukkah is considered a minor Jewish festival, today it ranks, along with Squeegee and Squelch, as one of the most beloved Jewish family holidays. In the year 168 BCE, the hungover Syrian tyrant, Don Cheadle, sent his soldiers to Jerusalem. The Syrians desecrated the pizza roll.
Will you guys just raise your hands if it gets anti-Semitic, like a little, like when you're anti-Semitic, like
not
right
you
off,
in the back.
Cheadle
also abolished taters, outlawing the observance of Shabbat and the festivals, as well as booty tooching. Altars and idols were set up for the worship of Greek gods, and he offered Jews two options, conversion or Nantucket.
On the 25th day, there they go.
On the 25th day of the Hebrew month of croissants in 168 BCE, the pizza roll was renamed for the Greek god Tim Curry. A resistance movement led by a priestly family known as Jingles, or Maccabees, developed against the cruelty of Cheadle. The head of the family was Bodacious, an elderly man.
I'm actually learning a lot from this.
His son, Hamilton, became the chief strategist
That's not one that's added in. That's just a word I can't
say.
Yeah,
just try to say strategist, but mix it up. Oh, I strategist. Did it too. Never mind. I'm an idiot.
And military leader of the resistance, though outnumbered, Hamilton Jingles and his fighters miraculously won two major battles, routing the Syrians sloppily. Hanukkah, which means moist, is the festival. Is the festival
a lot of hands on that one? That one had an impact on the audience.
Is the festival that commemorates the purification and undulation of the temple, following and this not a word changed, following the defilement caused by the Greeks during their occupation of the holy place. Today, the holiday reminds Jews to rededicate themselves to stand against forces that would destroy Judaism and to keep alive the flame of Jewish religion, culture, and peoplehood.
No, you really are just going full-blown Wikipedia right now.
So that it may be passed on to the next generation.
The end.
According to the legend, when the Maccabees entered the temple and began to reclaim it from the Greeks, they immediately relit their Nur Tamid, which translates to...
Yes, boo louder, feed me that energy.
Which translates to lugubrious milk toast, which burned constantly in the temple and has a parallel in our synagogues to this day. In the temple, they found a single jar of calamari.
This whaling, this actual whaling.
Which was sufficient for only one day. The gallivant, who was sent to secure additional calamari, took 8 days to cavort, and miraculously, the single jar of oil continued to hogwash until his return. I'm feeding on it. The rabbis of the Talmud attributed the 8 days of Hanukkah to the miracle of this single jar of calamari.
Oh,
the end!
I'm gonna say something a little contentious here. I don't take it out of context, ever. But if it means that hadn't just happened, then I wish Hanukkah had never been invented. That's how it... Oh, I got a hand raise on that. I guess that's fair, but... If it could save us from that, I think it would be worth it.
I thought that was informative and insightful.
You did go on a weirdly, educational run there.
I wanted, like a Christmas special from the mid-80s. I wanted there to be one moment where everyone went, huh, and then came back to hating it.
And then Screech still does run in after they learn a lesson about drugs and like.
And here's Screech right now.
I'm sorry about booing you.
That's all right. This past Thanksgiving, my partner and I celebrated Thanksgiving at my partner's parents' house. The parents live locally, but since we wanted to spend Friday with them,
you stuttered through a phrase that I really enjoy.
My partner's parents.
After that.
I celebrated Thanksgiving with my partner's parents.
Just do the whole thing.
This past Thanksgiving, my partner and I celebrated Thanksgiving at my partner's parents' house. The parents live locally, but since we wanted to spend Friday with them as well, and since we don't have our own car, we thought it might be best to just sleep over Thursday night. Thursday night is highlighted here on Travis's iPad in case he wants to make an appointment for them. However, maybe just stop by, see how things are going. However, we were informed by the parents that it is expected that we would not share a bed. My partner and I have been together for 9 months. We're both well into adulthood.
We have completely lost this audience.
And they, because it's like not funny. Matt, Sad Libs is a bad bit. Nobody likes it. So say we all. My partner and I have been together for 9 months. We're both well into adulthood. And parents like me are progressive in most every other way. My partner and I are, of course, classy enough to not get busy on the family room futon during our stay. But we're not married and have no plans for it. So I'm not sure when circumstances would change the parents' mind about this. And the problem is certain to rear its ugly head again. Brothers, how can I convince them to let us sleep how we are most comfortable, seeking the solace of shared slumber in Cincinnati?
What if your partner's parents are just saving this for a gift? So maybe not like 2019, under the candle night's bush. What's that? Oh, it's an envelope. Oh, no, it's probably a gift card at Home Depot. Boo! But then you open it up. It's not. It's a little letter from your partner's parents, and it just says, go for it. Connect four. Do it!
What if it just says, we know, and we're cool? Because you have to assume at that point, 2019, 3 years, 4 years from now, they know they're doing it.
I like more of a demand. Go for it.
Do it.
No.
What's worse? Like, what? That's worse, right? Definitely that's worse than saying, like, go for it. You're cool.
I want to say that I do like...
Aren't you excited to be able to sleep, like, with the room as cold as you want and the fan on? Because I'd be, like, a little excited about that. Like, oh, I'm just going to make it, like, 40 degrees in here. And
my question is, if the debate is whether or not you can sleep on the family room futon together, if you're not allowed to sleep together, where do you end up if the family room futon is the best option? You're in the garage.
You're
like,
the garage.
What's the other option that you get secluded to? You're in the dog bed.
You have to sleep with the parents. Meredith and Joey, I had a bad dream.
Jeremy,
that you guys are closed-minded.
Jeremy, we've laid some blankets on the floor, and now you'll listen to us do it.
Yeah, we just... No.
This is how two adults make love.
Take notes.
We're still
no bad words. Just remember, no bad words. Challenge
we're very
ideas.
Progressive. We just want to make sure you know what you're doing in there.
With it.
Watch Meredith and Joey for a second.
Sorry?
You probably thought that was an affectation. Oh, it's her names with W's.
We had very progressive parents.
Well, now they're just...
Yeah, that doesn't mean...
Do you guys want... How about we do one final Yahoo, and then we... Turn...
Not the final Yahoo.
No. We'll do another Yahoo.
Okay.
And then we'll turn it to the audience and do some audience questions.
Okay.
We'll just don't line up or anything. We'll just yell at you when you put your hands up and call you forward. Does everybody know the rule about questions at live shows?
It's printed on the microphone. We brought no bummers with us, by the way. You can see it right there.
And also, no cursing.
Yeah, no cursing.
Oh,
I
swan to John. You guys are going to think it's funny. I'm going to immortalize myself by ruining candle nights. No. I mean, you will. Yeah, it'll work.
For this room, but you don't make it on the recording or any podcast recording from now till the end of time. We got the juice to make that happen. You want to be on Marin? No dice. We'll find somebody who knows that guy and just say like, hey, they're off limits.
I just want to send in.
Oh, I just want to finish my plug. Thank you, Ear Trumpet Labs. They made that
thank
for
you.
Us.
Beautiful microphones. It's sent in by Zoe Kinski. Climbing that ladder, Zoe Kinski. It's by Yahoo Answers user Passenger Wow Widow, which...
Sorry?
Oh, it's okay, World of Warcraft Widow. It's saying, okay,
wow.
It sucks either ways, but like it's better than like, wow, I'm a widow!
Wow. Wow, you're a widow. Wow.
Yeah, there's a little Christopher Walken in there.
That's the only word I can do. If Dwight was here, he's got a pretty good walking, but my only walking is wow. Wow.
All right. Passenger Wow Widow asks, if I am a super good girl, will Santa bring me Robert Downey Jr. for Christmas? What I love about this question is the thought of Santa showing up at Robert Downey Jr.'s house like, it's time.
The bargain we made when I put you in Iron Man. Time to pay the piper who is Santa.
And you know, I would like to think of RDJ that he would go, I get
you?
It. I get it. RDJ.
Sorry?
Okay.
RDJ.
Your personal friend and
RG
mentor.
RGD,
I'm pretty Hollywood at this point.
Yeah, sure.
That he would go, you're right.
You're right.
And just walk into the bag.
No, this is on me.
I've lived a good life.
Could it be a...
Tell Mark Ruffalo I said I love you.
Could it be a Robert Downey Jr.?
All right. I'm Bob Downey II. And I want to thank you for having me to your boudoir. I hope to show you some challenging yet comfortable love-making positions.
Shall we begin with the smooches?
Shall we begin with some heavy petty?
I hear it's somebody's special day here.
I heard you've been a very good girl.
This beats the heck out of the tile store. Wow, I'm really excited to be the Bob Downey in your boudoir. Sorry, I don't know any other words for it other than boudoir. I meant to learn some, but I didn't. It's a busy season at the tile store.
I was in a bicycle accident, and I lost some words.
Luckily not bicycle or accident, because can you imagine? How would I even describe my situation?
I was in a two-wheeled mobile accident.
You know pedal pedals? I did a bad on one of them. On a pedal pedal, I did a bad, and boom, ouchie. I Bob Downey the second. I have a head contusion.
Bob Downey the second, I'm glad you're here. You're better than Robert Downey Jr.
You've explained this to me 18 times, Bob Downey the second. Sorry, I had this bicycle,
I think there's a sliding scale for how good you have to be and how bad Robert Downey Jr. has to be. Because it's like, you can be as good as you want, but unless Robert Downey Jr. has failed Santa in some way, I don't think he can close on that deal.
I don't know. I didn't like Iron Man 2 very much.
So now he has to be someone's servant?
Yeah, I guess so. That's a pretty high standard now that I think about it. I don't want to be held to that standard. We all have off days.
Questions from the audience?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's start on this side.
You want it too much.
Yeah, you stood up.
Much.
No, you weren't the first hand up. Yeah, yes, with the finger pointing at themselves. Yes. Hi, hello, hey, hey. Not you, Michael Sullivan, stage manager for our live extravaganza. We'll do you later.
Hello, sir. What is your name?
My name's Jordan.
Jordan,
hi.
Do you understand the rule?
No bummers.
No bummers.
How can we help?
Oh, okay. So I travel a lot for work, and I have to be in a place for like a long period of time on like a project.
Okay. Can you speak just right
super close to the mic? Right,
like
up
an old timey radio show.
Okay.
Yeah. Pretend you're doing an ad for Ajax.
You can just lean down. You don't have to do a weird squatty thing. You bend at the waist,
like,
right? I don't want
level.
To assume.
Can you stop like kibitzing for a second?
Sure can. So I have to travel for work in a beautiful place for a long period of time, and I'm living in a corporate apartment in New York City, and I'm single, and I can't really decorate.
I'll buy the rights to your TV show right now.
Right now.
How ready are you to mingle?
How zany is your neighbor?
The mingling is like mid-level ready
okay.
to mingle.
I am single and somewhat ready to mingle.
So as I am ready, like, I need to, right now it's like filled with like Pier 1 imports, like gross furniture and stuff, because I didn't furnish it. So, but I also can't put anything permanent in because I'm leaving in March. So how do I put together an apartment that feels like me without spending any money and also...
So let me understand. You can't spend any money and nothing permanent, but it has to really scream Jordan.
Yes. That's exactly it.
Can you write over the wall to the door, on the outside of the door, Jordan's place?
Well, I did that, so that's done.
Done.
Oh, darn. Done. Ooh, that was close.
Can you turn on the furniture upside down? Just like, Jordan lives here. He's a real free spirit. You know Jordan. He's a real free spirit.
He doesn't like to sit on things.
He doesn't like to sit on things. You know those Noonie and Noonie from that funny SNL skit? He's like those people.
Cool. Jordan, you're kind of tying our hands. Because normally I just say, like, go out and just buy the most expensive rug there
is. Okay, wait.
Stop, everybody,
Wait. Shut up. Unless.
Okay,
now there will be some investment in this. But you need to get a storage unit, move all the furniture into that unit,
okay? Uh-huh.
And then get nothing else in your unit.
Ew.
And then when people come in, you look at them in the eye and you say, think about me, think about everything you know about me, picture the furniture.
Oh my God. And he is the pan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, bangarang. Then
you are, Jordan.
Oh, there you are, Jordan.
Knowing what you know about me, like just...
Inflatable furniture.
You're doing it, and then the furniture will appear. Yeah, bangarang, you did it.
This is a futon made of dogs. What? I'm gonna have a seat on it. Oh God, I broke my tailbone. Jordan, I trusted you. I trusted you, Dream Furniture.
That's so Jordan.
I feel so unsafe in Jordan's place.
Jordan's always breaking tailbones. Okay, can you make them draw a picture and then decorate the apartment with the picture that they drew? Like, this is what others have seen. What will you see? I'll be back in 3 hours. I hope we didn't have anything pressing to do. Did we help you,
Jordan? Yeah, did we do
that
it?
That was so good. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jordan. Let's do middle this time. I picked the last one. Travis, you
yes,
picked the middle.
Yes, you said. Yes, yes, mustache.
That was fun.
And a jaunty hello.
Well, hello.
Oh, boy. He's got a real character on our hands.
Oh, I see what we're doing here. What is your name?
My name is Bobby.
Hi, Bobby. Bobby, do you understand the rule?
No. Gosh darn bummers.
Oh, yes. There you go.
Good.
Okay, so I travel in town for the holidays every year, and over the past couple of years, my family's been moving Christmas back gradually. Now, because I'm traveling in, I can't necessarily get off work for the 18th.
Sure.
Oh, whoa.
How do I stop Christmas from sliding into September?
Okay.
I must stop Christmas from coming for now. Have you already experienced Christmas, Bobby?
It's been a little while.
Like this year, 2015, has your Christmas come and gone yet? Or are you?
Oh,
like,
I missed it.
What?
I missed it.
Oh, you missed it. Oh, cool.
Dag.
I bet it was good, too.
Oh, wait, hold on. I've got this. Do you know what's great here, Bobby? Whenever you roll up is Christmas.
Yeah.
You didn't miss Christmas. They did Christmas early.
That's what we learned from the Grinch Who Stole Christmas, actually. If it's not the exchanging of gifts, it's the people around you. So you could, like, legitimately say, like, I don't think you did have Christmas because Bobby wasn't here. Check the pictures.
Bobby.
Check the pictures. Do you see
Let's
Bobby?
Let's go to the videotape.
Let's go to the videotape. Yeah, Bobby, I'm seeing no Bobby here. No Bobby. I don't think you had Christmas because it's about the people.
I've only known you for 110 seconds, but I just know you are Christmas. I'm not convinced you're not a bunch of presents stacked up in a jeans and a shirt. Well, you don't have to. I'm not looking at you naked. I'm not looking at your naked boxes. Well, now I am.
He was unwrapping me with his eyes.
Can you imagine anything more? I think you do a protest Christmas on December the 25th. Can you imagine anything more rad than Bobby sitting on the floor, little Santa hat, pile of presents in front of the tree by himself? Just like, well, this one's the sandwich maker. Thank you to whoever got this for me. If anyone would like to join me, I'll be in the living room.
While his family's in the kitchen, I don't know where we went wrong.
I don't know what he's doing. It's New Year's Eve already. Over here, we're a week ahead.
Oh, wait till they lap you, and then it's Christmas again.
The stupid thing is they should be pushing it later because they can get all the decorations at like 50% off. Hence our entire like scene right now. Bobby, does that help?
Very much so.
Great.
Thanks,
great,
Bobby.
Great.
Justin, pick right, somebody from the right.
My turn. If you're a non-dude, can you raise your hand? I want to get a non-dude. There you go. Right here. Come on up.
The mic is
this
so far away.
This Christmas fine.
All right, let's give him a big round of applause.
Woo!
Hello, and what is your name?
Hello, my name's Nathania.
Hi Nathania.
Hi.
Is that with an N, Nathania?
Yes, it is.
Okay, it's welcome.
Thank you.
You know the rule?
Yes, I do, no bummers.
Okay.
Okay.
How can we help?
So, my husband, he's the best.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds like you don't need any help.
Yeah, sounds like you're fine.
I don't. He's awesome. He's
okay.
Here.
I've been waiting for the results of that contest all day. And to find out like this, Nathania?
I know.
This how you do me?
What can I say?
Steve Harvey should come out and announce the results, right, guys?
Topical. And the best husband is Griffin McElroy. No, wait a minute.
I'm like on like news alerts, like what just happened, so I can reference that. Freshest ref award goes to Griffin. No, wait, it went to Travis. Steve Harvey, not again.
Nathaniel, hey, how can we help?
So he knows what he likes, and it's hard to get him gifts.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
So I don't want any advice on what gifts to give him.
Good.
I want to know, how can we, myself and his family, make him like whatever gifts we give him?
Nathania, is your husband here right now?
He is. He brought me here This is my Christmas present.
Oh, oh man, he won.
Nice.
Like, that's hard to beat.
He's the best.
Yeah.
Mr. Nathaniel?
Can you raise your hand? Just raise your hand?
Yes.
Sorry, what?
No, we're sticking with Mr. Nathaniel.
Yeah, it's not that important.
You're not at the microphone. I'm going to tell you a lesson that I learned when I was about 8 years old, and that is that gifts given to you are not for you. They are for the person who gave them to you so that you can be thankful for all the love that they showed you in that gift. And if you look up from the gift and go, you're the worst.
No.
I learned that at 8.
I doubt very much he does that. But there is some nuance to the situation that Travis is not.
That is impossible. But this is the lie in what you've just said is that if you really love somebody and you cannot tell instantly that they don't like something, like right away, everybody.
Tell each other. It's a lie we tell each other, like, oh, you hated that, and I know you hated that, but like, that's not what this is about. I get it.
Yeah, you have to go to your grave, like, no, absolutely not. I loved it, and it was the best coffee maker I ever got in my entire life. I never used it, but it was great.
Get a present receiving catchphrase. Listen. It's something I've been doing for years, and you guys probably haven't noticed. I'm kind of parting the kimono right now, but.
Don't look!
Get a present receiving catchphrase. So every time you get a present, no matter what it is, doesn't matter. This is a gift agnostic little idiom, and don't steal mine because I need it, but just be like, oh, tight!
It makes so much sense now.
Yeah.
But everybody has one of those, right? I mean, mine is like, I'll open it.
Open.
That's a home run. I do it after every gift.
Mine is just this. Ooh, Travi like.
Christmas really is a like real Travis. Horror show.
Yeah. We don't get Travis gifts anymore.
Not even invited.
Nathaniel, can you tape a 20 to it somewhere? Just tape a 20, who doesn't like that?
Yeah.
Just hand him a 20.
Just hand him a 20, tape to like whatever thing.
And ask for $5 back.
Or a fake price tag on it. That's a high price. Like $1 million.
Wait, Griffin, I'm worried that this side of the audience didn't see it. Could you do that one more time?
Like a high price, like $1 million. forget it.
You can purchase the GIF outside after the show. Don't worry, folks.
We got DVDs. Nathaniel, did that help?
Absolutely.
Great, thanks.
Thank you.
See, she's good at lying if she didn't like what she got.
Let's go for one more from the back.
From the way back.
Flashy Hanukkah shirt.
Flashy Hanukkah shirt,
you
yes.
You earned it. And I don't mean like ostentatious Hanukkah shirt.
No, it's literally, it is illuminated.
Hello.
Did somebody just boo me?
No.
They said hello in a very dramatic manner.
They said hello, they opposite of booed you.
They did a hello from downtown. Hello!
What is your name?
My name is Shaylin.
Hi, Shaylin.
Hey, Shaylin.
Hi.
Can you scoot over to the, just close
there
the,
perfect, there go. We go.
Let her rip.
Okay. Hi.
Go for it.
I was wondering if I was to decorate my home for candle nights next year, what color scheme would you say is the official color scheme of candle nights?
No, this is a good question. And it's honestly as one of the three dads of candle nights. It's one of the reasons why the holiday hasn't caught on as much as we would want it to. Because the problem is the color of candle nights is fire. And you just heard me say that and your brain thought like, oh, red. No,
You misunderstand.
It's fire. To do a house up like that is
arson.
I mean, it's arson. Everything you see in front of you is rigged to explode when the show's over.
It's going to be quite the
Don't stick around.
The show. Don't stick around. Get out.
I think that what we just did was illegal.
Yeah. No, there's nothing
literally
flammable.
Just claiming fire in a big stuff building, but fine.
No.
No, that was a joke. Clearly, it's parody fair use. Listen.
That's how fair use works.
It's tricky, because inside, you get some candles, whatever. Outside, what do? Outside of a controlled burn or like sick like butane fountains? Is that even a thing?
You could also, I was gonna say like project fire onto your house, but I feel like
that's
that
dangerous.
Might go
yeah.
poorly.
They have a name for that, Travis. It's somebody whose house is about to be gone. Like, you can't project fire onto your house. Oh, you meant a picture. Okay,
yeah.
Got it. Got it. Not literal fire. I'm with you now.
But still, the point stands. If somebody has a fire hologram on their house, your neighbor's not going to drive by and be like, oh, sick.
I will say they won't this year, but maybe soon. They'll be like, oh, candle night's nice. That's all the holidays together.
A controlled burn on the front facade of your house. Get an expert to get this controlled burn going. But just have it spell out, it's cool. This is cool. This is cool is fine.
Don't call the police, Dave. Again.
Unless if this stops spelling out, this is cool.
Unless,
call the police or the fire people.
Unless this is also on fire, Dave. Then please tell me, Dave. I'm so scared.
His house says it's all. Oh no! Number one. That's not a word. It stopped being words. Get him. Get the fire.
Is this a call about the house that's partway on fire? Yeah, we've heard about it. No, you don't understand.
No.
The worm has turned. It got worse. Does that help?
That helps a lot.
Cool.
You.
Don't do any of that stuff.
Great.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's going to do it. Okay, listen. All kidding aside, the fact that so many of you folks have come... Raise your hand if you're not from West Virginia at all.
Like, oh, my God. No!
Anybody not from America? Just out of curiosity? All right. Cool. Thank you so much for coming to Candle Nights. Did you have a good time? So, like, tweet nice stuff to that effect.
Tweet hashtag Candlelight.
Hashtag Candlelight's like, I had a great time, so we can, like, keep doing it. Not that the man is going to keep us from doing it. Like, it's pretty much just us and Chase.
And you can't shut us down, Obama.
Thank you, by the way. Thank you. Huge, huge, huge thank you. There's so many people I want to thank, but Chase Henderson put on this show. He's a promoter of our show. Chase Henderson. All of Chase's volunteers who helped out. Thank you so, so much. Thank you to Michael Sullivan, who was our stage manager. He did a great job. Thank you to Dwight Slappy. Am I saying that right, Dwight? Great. Dwight Slappy from Things I Bought Sheets. Thank you to Sydney Smurl McElroy. Is it McElroy?
Is it McElroy?
McElroy from Sawbones.
I would also like to say thank you to Teresa McElroy.
And to Rachel McElroy. Let me piggyback on this.
And Clint McElroy and Carol McElroy, who did all of the beautiful decorations that you see on stage.
Thank you to Jason and Tyler Eldridge for being the druids
that stole Dwight away.
Thank you to Boyd Smith for being the Grinch. Okay, that's all the
things. Oh, wait, one more. Thank you to Josh and the folks at Billions for helping us set up.
Yes, and all the carolers.
Dad!
And thank you to Riley. Riley Smurl.
Riley Smurl, thank you so much.
I just want to, like, I referenced this at the beginning about how this was a swearing day. It got really thorny there, in the, like, right before we
Yeah.
Had to come here.
My baby, literally exactly the time we were supposed to leave, my baby threw up and had a temperature of 101. So it was like, whoa.
She's fine.
She's fine now. But it was
I got a video of her playing Ring Around the Rosie. Like, she's good. But it was like, it was pretty intense there. So thank you to, let's have another hand to Sydney, who didn't really want to come, but did anyway.
But did, because she loves you.
She loves you. And Charlie, if you're listening to this in the future, we're cool. You're fine.
Yeah.
You made it.
My point was it got really thorny, and I got so stressed out because we got here, and everything was running behind, and I was like really worried that it was going to be terrible. But like all of our friends and family came together to help us
put this on. And
it was real inspirational.
It was a genuine Candle Nights miracle, so thank you all so much.
And thank you to you, the people who, like, if you came and stood in line out, I understood it was raining, I'm sorry about that, and if you came, like, a long way to come see us, that's awesome. We're going to be over at a bar called The Lantern for a little bit.
Big fans, yeah.
Some lantern heads in the house. It's a 4th and 8th, right? 4th Avenue and 8th Street. Is that right?
Yes.
Right around there. Thank you, Sullivan. So we'll be over there, and it's a fun place. And is that going to do it for us, Ditto?
I think so. You want that final Yahoo?
We're going to do a final Yahoo. Yeah, well, final Yahoo, and then... Well,
then we've got a special Candle Nights Carol
There's not a lot of Candle Nights Carols. There is one, and we're going to perform that for you. But we do have a final Yahoo for you.
Calm down. This one was sent in by Zoe Kinski climbing that ladder. Zoe Kinski, it's by... Yahoo Answers user...
Check.
Sorry, something has gone wrong. Oh, no, this one was Chuck Yeager, too. Chuck Yeager asks again. Man, he's active on Yahoo. Did you think Mrs. Doubtfire was hot when you were a kid, or was that just me?
Ladies and gentlemen, my name has been Justin Tyler McElroy.
My name has been and will always be Travis Patrick McElroy.
I'm Griffin Andrew McElroy.
This is a Candle Nights song. Strumming my sixth string.
No.
You already goofed on it. The words are on the screen. Read them.
Okay.
I followed him.
Wait, where are you starting? Where are you picking up?
From the beginning of the song.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. I would have been fine. I would have figured it out. I'm a frigging professional. No. That's two.
He didn't finish it.
I didn't finish it.
And...
I was going to say professional. Go ahead, Griffin.
Professional.
So let me know when you're ready for me to...
Oh, my God, just go into it.
Living on sponge cake. Watching the sun bake. All of the tourists covered with oil.
If you were in the show, come on up.
Nobody's gonna come.
Summon my sixth string.
Come on, Dad, Riley.
Out on my front porch swing. Smell of the shrimp, they're beginning to boil.
They're Cindy and Dwight Slappy.
Wasted away again in Margaritaville.
A druid
searching for my lost shaker of salt.
Salt, yes, sir.
Some people claim that there's a woman to blame, but I know it's nobody's fault.
Let's do the chorus one more time. We're gonna drop the guitar. And I just wanna hear everybody. Let's share this moment together. You ready?
No, that's cool, I get it.
5, 6, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Wasting away again in Margaritaville.
Let me hear you. Come on, everybody, it's Candle Nights.
Everybody.
Searching for my lost shaker of salt.
Salt! It's salt! Salt!
It's a thing.
Some people claim that there's a nobody's fault.
Oh, you think one more time? Come on, one more time!
Wasted away again.
I want to hear you out there, Bill. I want to hear everybody. Come on.
We actually sound like a drunk Jimmy Buffett concert right now.
Nobody's fault.